Sound of Hockey episode 266. We're calling this one the Matt Cullen episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Matt Cullen had 266 career goals in the NHL. And I believe he's got some Minnesota ties. So
some Minnesota size.
Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah, he does. He's a good old Moorhead Spud. One of my favorite mascots is the Spud. I always appreciated their go potato chants that they used to have at the Minnesota State Hockey Tournament. But it's timely because I am in Minnesota right now. We're remote for this one, visiting some family for the holidays. And Curtis is with us as well. He's off in God knows where, but we're spanning a lot of different time zones tonight, so we're all battling through based on time, except for John. John's at a very comfortable time for his sake. But anyway, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown. Did I mention that already? Darren Brown on the Twitter? Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL to Seattle on the Twitter.
And also Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, everyone. Deep Sea Hockey on the Twitter.
And we are not coming to you from Bar Down Studios, as we just mentioned. Do follow at @sound_hockey on the X or the Twitter, whatever you prefer to call it, as well for all your latest Kraken news updates. We've had some fun with that this past couple of days here. We were doing some holiday puns on the names at the Dallas Stars Seattle Kraken game. My personal favorite that the Twitter intern came up with was Yanni now our Gord apparel. I thought that was brilliant. on the part of the Twitter intern. Okay, we have a note on here, and we're just going to start right away. Oh, by the way, no five-star reviews. What's that about? Let's get a five-star review into Apple Podcasts, please. It's a good way to communicate with us, and it makes us feel really warm and fuzzy, so get those in. We have a note on the show notes here. It's a very mysterious note. It's regarding the trade for Tomáš Tatar. It says, "Into powder, we brought our Tatar." And none of us recall writing that on the show notes, so we're trying to figure out what that means. It feels applicable and appropriate somehow, but none of the three of us wrote that, so we're really confused as to what that means. So if anybody knows out there what "into powder we brought our Tatar" might mean, please do let us know, because we're all quite confused about it. But on that topic, that was obviously the big news of the week, was that the Seattle Kraken did make a trade for Tomáš Tatar for a fifth-round pick. And not trying to toot my own horn, I've never done that before. I've never been one
never.
To toot my own
never
horn.
Never once, no.
Other than in the last couple minutes. Well, no, that was I was tooting the Twitter intern's horn. That wasn't.
That's
true. Sounds terrible. Sounds really terrible. But yeah, I do recall saying a couple of weeks ago during the Panic Button episode that I thought the Kraken should make a trade using one of their kind of lower level futures, some sort of a lower draft pick for like a middle six type of forward. And John said that just couldn't be done. You're not going to get anything of value. And in comes Tomáš Tatar for a fifth round pick.
Well, I'll tell you what's changed in that time, right? Is Burakovsky's hurt. Schwartz is hurt. Both those guys were active when you made that claim. So in my stance, Tatar is a stopgap for those two going down.
Okay.
Because he's very similar. Like, I mean, he's prototypical Kraken, a middle six forward, right? That can play up and down the lineup.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
I don't think it's totally exactly what you said. That said, fifth round pick, not much to give up, right? And it's a good fit for Tatar as well, right? Like he was getting limited minutes in Colorado. All of a sudden, we'll talk about it in a bit, but you know, joins a Kraken, thrown into the lineup, instantly gets more minutes, higher up the lineup, playing with a little more skill, and he's on a 1-year deal. So assuming he wants to play beyond this year, really good opportunity for him. So I think it's a good fit all around.
Yep. And he did score a goal. Yeah. It took him I don't know how many games to score his first goal for the Avalanche. He just got his first goal for the Avalanche this past week. Comes in and scores in his second game with the Kraken. So that's exciting to see, definitely. But Curtis, let me get your take as well, please.
I mean, if your point, Darren, was a trade could be a shakeup that this lineup needs, I think there is. I mean, again, like John said, we'll talk about it, but in Dallas, you know, his line was humming. I mean, it was working. So if what your point was, you know, do a trade in the middle six, top six to bring a jolt to the lineup, he's certainly done that. I agree with John, though, that this does seem like it was the timing, at least, And the roster composition suggests this was a reaction to injuries more than anything.
All right. Well, whatever. We're all right. So
that's well, what and I'm I go did with. Suggest a trade for a fifth round pick. I'll just throw that out there too. But okay.
All right. So like I said,
so we're all right.
Yeah. We're all right. Everybody got it right. But no, I mean, I was happy to see it. I think this was, whether it is because of a reaction to injuries or not, I think that this was exactly what I was calling for, though, right? Was this kind of a thing that's like not going to cost them too much? Heck, who knows? Maybe they bring him in. He does have some success playing higher up the lineup. They decide that they're not going anywhere this season. They trade him at the deadline and get a higher pick. I mean, I could theoretically see that happening.
It's totally possible, especially if he all of a sudden, like, you know, gets a little fire or shows a little more progress or the offensive notoriety that he's known for, right, as far as, like, getting goals. Because fifth round is nothing, right? And they could easily flip him in March. So, something to keep an eye on.
I was going to say precisely the same thing. There's almost no downside for that precise reason. 7-time 20 goal scorer at the trade deadline on a rental on a low money deal. I mean, that's precisely the type of player you get a good return for at the trade deadline. So really no downside here, no matter how it plays out. But, you know, so far, so good for the Kraken.
And in that topic, in that vein, on that topic, it's been a little bit better week for the Kraken than what we had the previous week. They've had points in now 4 straight games. We talked about the shutout win over the Florida Panthers last week, but since then they had a 7-1 drubbing of the Chicago Blackhawks in Seattle. They had a 3-2 shootout loss to the Kings, and they had a 4-3 overtime loss to the Stars. So the good news on each of those last two is that they showed some resiliency. They got late tying goals. The bad news was that they were, again, kind of chasing those games. So I don't know, some good, some bad from those games. I think at the end of the day, you want to see them getting points at this time of year, especially considering where they are in the standings. And if they do actually want to try to get back into the playoff race, they need to be getting points out of almost every game. And they've found a way to do that here these last couple of contests. So that's a good thing. They've gotten some production from the fourth line of late, which is definitely a positive, I think, after there wasn't a ton. And that's been a huge part of the narrative, was the team just not getting productive from the, or getting production from the fourth line after all their fourth line players left in the offseason. So Kyler Yamamoto had 2 goals against the Blackhawks. He scored also against Florida, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, the opener.
And then Pierre-Edouard Belmar have been scoring as well. Unfortunately, there's also been some injuries again that have happened, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I think one of the things that I did want to talk about, and you just alluded to it there, Curtis, is just that he has been showing some chemistry here, and by he, I mean Tomáš Tatar. He's been showing some chemistry with Matty Beniers and Jordan Eberle. They only played one game together, but I really liked how they looked, and in that one game, I thought that they were Seattle's best line. Beniers and Eberle have both struggled pretty mightily this season, so seeing both of them have like a real positive impact on a game, I thought they both looked dynamic. Matty's moving the puck, he's shooting the puck, he scores a goal, he gets an assist, all positive things from that trio of players. So considering it's their first time all playing together, I thought it looked really, really good.
I would agree with you as well there. And I think it seemed like Matty even played with a little more swagger, I guess, later in the game too, right? After the good, you know, he's been playing pretty well. But in the overtime, he hit a post, right? That could have ended it, would have been pretty remarkable. Then he almost had a wraparound as well.
Yeah, and that was like seconds later, right?
Yeah, and it was like, so, you know, it's one game, so like we shouldn't be promising anything out of Matty, but like we've looked for a little turnaround. He's definitely not had the same production that he's had last year and not at the same pace, but you got to be happy with that game in Dallas. And Dallas is a good team. We shouldn't like lose track of that as well. Like Dallas is really good. So it's nice. And I definitely want to go back and just kind of comment about overall, this is the best the Kraken has looked, yeah, right? Over the last 2 weeks. I think it's the best they've looked all season consistently. I don't think Dallas was their best effort, but they figured a way to claw back and get a point. And there's something to be said about getting points even when you don't put your best effort on the ice. So I'm kind of happy with how the team's playing right now. And I think the last week we should be pretty happy as well.
I agree. Do you agree, Curtis?
Well, so to kind of go back to what I was saying before the homestand started, I thought the team needed a 4-2 homestand to kind of get the ship pointed back in the playoff direction, that being the bare minimum. I think they came out 2-2-2. So from that perspective, It's not what you want. It wasn't enough. And now another overtime loss. I don't know that that's enough. What's happened at the same time, though, of course, is the Western Conference has continued to flounder, and they're only 3 points out of a wild card spot. So it's not, you know, they're still within striking distance, but they, you know, they do at some point need to put together some type of, you know, 3-4-5 game winning streak here in the next month or two to really put themselves in some type of position. Just kind of going along like they're going, I don't know if it's going to be enough.
No, points in four straight, they're good. Points in four straight.
that's the spin zone, I guess.
Change the narrative.
I agree with John that I thought in the Dallas game, I thought they outplayed Dallas. I thought they, particularly the second two periods, I thought they pretty much controlled that game. And really the first period, Dallas jumped on them 2-0, but that was mostly on the strength of what seemed like a scouting insight or, frankly, just some type of almost disrespecting the Kraken's skill players by just cherry picking to a kind of absurd extent. They didn't really bring their fifth forward, the fifth player that would cover the highest part of the zone, into the play until it was clear that the Kraken had established possession. Like if they were fighting down in the corner, the fifth Stars player was often just off the screen looking for a stretch pass for a breakaway. And they got like half a dozen or more breakaways over the course of the game, a bunch of them in the first period. And that's how they converted a lot of their goals. But just in straight up play, and I fault the Kraken for not adjusting to that well enough, quickly enough. But in straight up play, I thought the Kraken had a great game. One of their best of the season, I thought. It was disappointing in the end to, again, only get 1 point.
I guess what I didn't like is the penalties, right? That's probably where I kind of discredited as being like a good game. They had put themselves shorthanded 4 times. Granted, they've killed it all. And what was crazy, and we'll talk about the injuries in a bit, is two of the players on the power play actually went down, and they were killing the penalties without two of their power play players, which was crazy to think that they were able to, you know, not allow a goal in those opportunities. So that is one thing that's also been outstanding right now is the penalty kill.
And yeah, on that topic of the penalties, yeah, but there seems to be like some discipline issues all of a sudden, right? Because you had Yanni Gord made some 2 penalties in a row there. The second one, he just kind of like ran over Scott Wedgwood. It almost looked intentional. And then in the game before, you had Vince Dunn losing his mind in overtime, which should have cost them that game at that point. Instead, it went to a shootout and they ended up losing in, 9 rounds. So it didn't really kill him in the game, but it also took away 2 minutes of 3-on-3 time when theoretically they could have won that game. So I didn't like that. I mean, now I understand why Dunn was pissed off. Like he got taken down by Drew Doughty and it should have been a penalty, but you don't, like they always get the guy that retaliates, you know, and he swings his stick. Then he swings his stick again. Then he punches Kevin Fiala in the face. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like it just was very strange. Then Yanni Gord had kind of a similar, not as egregious, but a little bit of a freak out in that Dallas game, which we don't see that very often from this team. So kind of strange. As long as we're giving some constructive criticism here and talking about some of the negatives that have come out of these last couple of games, you know, I wasn't particularly impressed with the start to the game. I know, Curtis, you're saying it's like maybe a pre-scout thing and they weren't being particularly respectful, but like, it's a bad pinch by Will Borgen on that first goal, for example, and that sends a 2-on-1 the other way. And then he gets tangled up with, I believe it was Rupe Hintz in the middle of the ice. They both fall down. So you can't really fault him there. I actually thought he was kind of making the right play. He was trying to intercept a pass and break it up. Rupe Hintz made a good play from his knees to keep the puck going. But like if you watch the replay, all three forwards were just kind of like drifting back, not really doing anything to get back in. So I didn't like the way that they played there. Too many odd man rushes, too many breakaways. It just isn't how you want to start a game. And even, I mean, the first shot of the game was a 2-on-1 easy tap in goal. So that's just not how you want to start against any team, but especially a good team. To their credit, they do turn it around, but again, it's another scenario, right? And we saw this on that 8-game losing streak where it's like they turn it on, but not until they're chasing, and they can't be chasing games. They just can't do it. So need better starts, which has been kind of the story for a lot of the season, I think. Now we have mentioned a couple of times the injuries that happened. So Pierre-Edouard Belmar is on injured reserve. He blocked a shot from Thomas Harley in the second period. And I mean, I don't really know where it hit him or whatever, but I know it's lower body and he's who knows what his status is. But Hextall alluded to the fact that it was going to be a little bit longer period than Jared McCann's injury, who Jared McCann also got hurt, by the way. But so, yeah, Belmar is officially on injured reserve as of today. And then McCann also, we don't really know his status yet. I have no idea what happened to him. I went back and watched a couple times his last shift to see if I could figure it out. I could not figure it out. But Hextall said it's lower body. That's all we really know right now. Did you guys see anything at all that looked like an obvious injury from him?
I did not.
Yeah, I did not. I haven't gone back and rewatched the game. But, man, the hits just keep coming to the injuries, right? Like, this team has been decimated by injuries if you really look at it. But, you know, if the only thing I'll say is it's nice that there's a little bit of a holiday break, right? So it gives him a little bit more time to recover. Hopefully it's, you know, he's out for just a bit, not long term, but we do have an extended kind of break now. Now they still have two games before the break, but one of them is against Anaheim. Not that I want to take anybody lightly, especially this team right now, but, you know, hopefully they can get through these two games and maybe he's back by Anaheim, but I don't expect him in LA.
That was Anaheim or Anaheim?
whatever you want to call it, okay. Anaheim.
The quack quacks. And then, so the Kraken, as a result, they called up Lump of Coal Lind on an emergency basis. Can you explain what that means, Curtis, that it's on an emergency basis?
Yeah. So after Pierre-Edward Belmar went on injured reserve, the team still had 12 active forwards. But if you were calling a player on a forward on an emergency basis, it means you're telling the league you don't have 12 healthy forwards. Even if you have 12 active, they're not, at least one of them isn't healthy enough to play. So I think the reasonable read of this is that the Kraken told the league that McCann is not healthy enough to play, so we're going to bring Lind up as an emergency recall. If McCann becomes healthy enough to play, Lind has to go back. An emergency recall can only stay for the length of the time period of the emergency. So I wouldn't expect that to happen before the next game. It seems likely to me that they kind of tipped that McCann will be out at least one. The fact that he isn't going on IR, I mean, I guess, you know, again, just reading tea leaves, maybe Anaheim's up in the air, but hopefully he's back after that.
But so why couldn't Lind take Belmar's spot as a roster spot?
He could have. And it doesn't actually have to do with roster spots. It has to do with just the designation of how you're recalling someone. A standard recall is the normal way. If someone's just recalled from Coachella Valley, that's what's called a standard recall. There's also this kind of nuance to it where you can be an emergency recall. And the distinction there, the benefit to the team has to do with waivers eligibility. If you're up for a long period of time on an emergency basis, you can go back down and then be a standard recall later. And it doesn't count against your clock on a standard recall for waiver status. But it doesn't have anything to do with, well, at least in this posture, it doesn't have anything to do with the cap or anything to do with roster spaces. It just has to do with pretty much waivers eligibility, which I think is a pretty...
So it's kind of like keeping options open.
Yeah, keeping options open. It's kind of like, doing the most beneficial thing for the team is what they did. And in doing so, it just kind of tips the concept that McCann is most likely going to miss at least a game.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing that because I was not sure.
And by the time this is out, we might all know.
Yeah, I think we probably will. Man, I sure am excited to hear that they're going to lose Jared McCann for any amount of time because that's just what they need.
I mean, when you think about it, their two best like pure shooters might be Andrei Burakovsky and Jared McCann. You know, Elie Tolvanen might be in that conversation, but two best pure shooters and maybe best power play scorer in Jaden Schwartz. I mean, if McCann is out for any period of time...
it's ridiculous, right?
The goal
it's
scoring ridiculous. Gets real tough. Yeah. Now, Darren touched on it. I believe it was Darren who touched on it a moment ago, that Matty Beniers is starting to look pretty good. Maybe he can pick up the slack for a couple games. Maybe he gets hot, and that's just what the team needs. But yeah, if you're losing McCann for any significant period of time, goal scoring is going to get real hard.
Well, at least there isn't a massive tent pole event coming right around the corner in the Winter Classic, which, by the way, the trucks have arrived. Big news there. Trucks are in town. So T-Mobile Park is starting to become an ice arena, which is fun. Okay, one thing that we needed to touch on, which we totally forgot about again last week. We haven't done very well with keeping up with this, but the weekly wager, which is supposed to be weekly, but it's really become a bi-weekly wager because we just keep forgetting about it. The weekly wager, John, I have to give it to you. You officially won the weekly wager. You're the first winner of a weekly wager with Joey Decord pitching a shutout against the Florida Panthers. So congratulations to you.
Who would have thought? And that was like the default because I went third.
Yeah.
I went third and to select three options, three different options.
Well, so, the points total one certainly didn't work in the midst of an 8-game losing streak. So
No,
it did not.
My choice that was tough. I was really hoping, though, because I had the 5 goals, right? And they scored 4 against Florida. So my take there, I was actually hoping that we could argue about it because you would have been like, well, he got a shutout in the same game as the Kraken scoring 5 goals, right?
But what came, said 5. He got 5 first.
That's right. Yeah. 5 goals came first. So I would have been arguing for myself to take the win there. Anyway, congratulations. So you are officially owed $2 from myself and
each.
Curtis.
Yeah.
Each. So that's $4 total in your... do you carry actual cash? I don't carry cash.
I do because when I have skates, people like have to give me some... A couple people just give me cash for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I probably shouldn't say this, but I got like a stack of cash that I need to run to the bank every once in a while, like because I like never use it.
Yeah. No one listens to this. Don't worry about it.
So add 4 $1 bills to that stack. And we have a new weekly wager, which is set up for this next week. Now, this may include the next 2 or 3 games. It's all just dependent on when we end up recording the next episode. It's going to be a little bit funky because we have Christmas Eve and Christmas coming up. There's a game against Calgary on what day is that? The day after Christmas? The
27th.
So on the 27th. So we don't know if we're going to record before or after that game. Anyway, the wager is we're going to each pick a player who we think is going to get the most individual points between now and the next recording of this podcast. So how do we decide who goes first? I think it should probably go by handsomeness, which would be me goes first.
Me.
How about amount of hair on top of head?
Darren, you can go first because Curtis went first last time.
Yeah, all right. I think that's fair.
Arguing about the alphabetical.
I think I'm going to go a little off the board anyway. I don't think you guys would have picked this guy, but I'm going to go with Tomáš Tatar.
Oh, ooh. I love it. Love that pick.
Top point getter over the next 2 to 3.
All right, who goes next, I think Darren? You got to pass it to
you
one
You should
of us.
Go next, John, because he went last time.
I'm going to go Vince Dunn. Vince Dunn.
It's a good pick. Yep.
All right. And I'm just gonna go hot hand theory. I'll go with Matty Beniers.
Mm. Ooh, interesting.
I think this is the time. This is the time.
Yeah.
I like what I saw from him in Dallas.
Theoretically, if Matty's going well, Tomáš Tatar should also be going well and vice versa. So that could make things interesting here in a couple of days. But we'll find out.
Wait, but what do we do if there's a tie, right? What if 2 players have the same amount of points in that time span?
I think the other player just is kicked off the podcast. Like whoever the third person is, never gets to be on the podcast again.
All right. It's
promise?
Been said. It's done.
Unless it's me, right? Because that wouldn't work.
That doesn't work.
I think it just carries over. If we have a tie, even if it's only 2, like if there's one guy who has more points than the other 2 and the other 2 tie, that one guy wins, obviously. But if there's 2,
doesn't that happen in golf, right? Where they like, if you don't win a hole, the money like carries to the next.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Like a skins match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I don't play
carry
golf,
over. So it'll carry over if there's 2 guys that tie.
I gotcha.
Okay. We also wanted to do, because Festivus is right around the corner. Now we're recording this one on December 19th, which is Tuesday. Festivus is technically on December 23rd. But folks out there have definitely disappointed me. And in the spirit of Festivus, we're going to air some grievances. If you're not familiar with Festivus, it's a made-up holiday from George Costanza's father in Seinfeld. But it's a fantastic concept, obviously. So we all gather around a steel pole now, and we air our grievances about one another. I think we'd kind of go around.
About one another?
And other
Darren
things.
Darren is making this personal. I like it.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. I mean, that's the idea in the original airing of grievances. We're going more just like Kraken related. My first grievance, though, is that we haven't had a 5-star review for a couple of weeks. So that's toward our listeners. So I'm airing a grievance toward our listeners for not putting a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts for a couple of weeks, because A, it's more fun, and B, if you don't give us 5-star reviews, I just assume you hate us, and I don't think that's true at all. So
yeah.
Okay, who's up next? Go ahead and air.
You need to pass it to somebody.
Okay, John, I hereby hand the airing of grievances baton to you.
I'm not having any more Wenberg slander, right? And if people are giving Wenberg slander, it's because they're not watching everything he does away from scoring goals. And he does a lot. He carries the puck a lot, steals the puck, protects the puck, passes the puck, dishes the puck, gets out of harm's way. The guy is the most underrated Kraken player. That's my grievance. There's a couple people that may have witnessed me getting very upset about a Wenberg slander in the locker room one time when somebody kind of started attacking Wenberg. And I'm here to say no more Wenberg slander, right?
Hackstall mentioned him the other day. He was like, you know, he doesn't get a lot of shine for some reason, but
he's incredible. So
that's good King Wenny slots. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna pass it to Curtis.
That's a good one. I don't think I noticed that one before. Okay, I'll go with Jamie Benn. I just don't like his face.
Related to Wenberg.
Or no, very punchable face.
Sorry, that was Ryan Suter.
No, yeah. It's just this game was I don't know, it just kind of brought back that, you know, the rivalries are born in the playoffs, right? And just having to see Jamie Benn in my face again, I did not like it. Anyway, Darren, your turn.
All right. Mm-hmm. Love it.
No, that's good. That's a good one. I'm tired of people yelling random things during the national anthem. I've said this before, and I did a get off my lawn about it. I need us to pick a lane. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's C. I don't care if it's red glare. We were asked to try to spread the word to get people to yell C during the playoffs last year. We tried it, but then the game ops still does like the red light during red glare. So I would like
Red glare was what they wanted us to do.
I don't think so. I think it was C. They wanted C.
Mm-hmm. No.
In the playoffs.
Yep.
In the playoffs.
I'm 100% sure. I'm 100% sure of this. Yep. So anyway, I just want us to pick a lane. That's all. And we got to get rid of the fight. Whoever's yelling fight needs to stop. They all need to stop.
That's a everything.
Yeah. And that's fine. It can be a silver tips thing, but we can't have three different things.
This is Festivus. Darn it.
People yelling.
Must stop.
And and I swear there's people like just trolling, because every now and then you'll hear somebody yell like
random stuff.
Random words. Like I'm trying to think of the words of the Star Spangled Banner.
But it's so random you can't even think of it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, John, we're just going in a circle now. So John, go ahead.
Okay.
Air your grievances.
My grievance is the Root Sports on Xfinity is got a little delay.
The sound, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So Forsland is talking about hitting posts before we even hear the post being hit. And there's just little things. And it was so noticeable in the Dallas game because the referees, the mouth, it was like out of sync with the audio. And so when they would show the referees talking the penalties, like it was out of sync. I understand it's an issue, and I understand there's challenges in technology. That is inexcusable at this point in the world, right? Like I've never experienced that kind of delay before. And it's borderline frustrating because it doesn't make sense, right? Like I don't need to watch the game because it's like getting the results before it actually happens. I don't like it. That's my grievance, and it's Festivus, so you can't come after me for it. So that's my take. So
do we maybe want to just like soften and say like, but we sure like the people over at Root Sports.
We love the people at Root.
Okay.
We love the people.
Because saying inexcusable sounds pretty.
The technology around it is not, there's not an acceptable. I don't watch any other games where there's a delay.
Okay.
How is this possible? It has nothing to do with the people we see on screen and the great coverage that they provide and the great production that they have.
That's right. Curtis, quickly take over before we lose
before
friends.
I'm sorry, Darren, you were trying to soften things. I'm going to harden things again.
Oh.
This was actually my only real grievance is this precise issue.
This one?
This one. And I don't have Xfinity, so it's not,
so
just,
it's not just Xfinity.
It's not just an Xfinity issue.
I was hoping it was isolated to Xfinity.
This delay thing, I agree. It kind of sometimes ruins the great coverage for me. Because again, why am I even watching the game if John Forslund is calling the puck in the net before I get to see
the future.
It. Like, yeah, it doesn't really. It really, for someone who wants to watch the game really closely, deeply frustrates me. And it also frustrates me that it hasn't been fixed by now. Like, why?
Right.
I mean, they Thank must you, know this is happening.
They
so
do know.
Anyway, yeah. It's Festivus. Love the guys over there. But yeah, that's no good.
Well, okay. Why don't they just delay the audio a split second? Right.
That seems like an easy solution.
I would be totally okay with that. Yeah. I don't need. Yeah.
Spin zone.
Okay, all right.
Here's a spin zone for you. I prefer to hear it first because when they get scored against, it really softens the blow for me because then it's like, oh, and they score, right? And then it goes in the net. And so when I see it happen, I'm like, okay, well, I already knew that was about to happen.
Man. I'm worried about the
sick thinking. Okay, Darren, you're up.
Yeah, okay, take it away before we get in trouble.
Yeah, I do. I don't like that the Kraken do their morning skates at Kraken Community Iceplex. It really drives me crazy because it makes it impossible to cover both morning skates. So that's a very selfish thing for me, but I just personally don't like that because I would like to go to both teams' morning skates whenever possible, and I cannot do it. So that's all. And they did it the first year at Client Pledge, and it was totally fine. And then they switched it last year, and then now it's just not something that I can do anymore is go to both morning skates. So that's all. John?
I'm not sure if I have another grievance, you know?
Okay.
I'm
how about the Kraken just not winning enough?
It's not. I love the Heart. They're playing well now. There's no hate in my veins right now. I always wish they would, but it's not a grievance I have. I understand the situation. There's been a lot of injuries, so I'm okay with it. I'm living with it. There's a lot of bad takes out there. I guess that could be a grievance, but it's really not that bad. I'll filter.
But isn't it good to have takes, right? Because like people care.
I think that's a very good point, but sometimes it weighs on me, to be honest, mentally. Because wow. I mean, I'm being a little moment of vulnerability. It weighs on me when people kind of have some bad takes, and you're like, okay, I get it, right? But the reality is, there's a lot of things in play.
Okay.
Like the Wennberg slander. I won't have it.
Okay, new grievance. Right. John, you're too vulnerable. That's it.
Fair enough. I think that's acceptable. I understand my shortcomings here. So, all right, Curtis, take it over. Do you have any more grievances? Or
I'm going to defer my final grievance to Darren because I also have no further grievances.
All right. My last one is that John always grumbles during Goalie Gear Corner when I'm doing the intro to it. And that brings us to our first segment, which is everyone's favorite segment.
Oh, boy.
Goalie Gear Corner! Our Goalie Gear Corner this week comes from Colorado Avalanche goaltender Alexander Georgiev, who has a special new holiday mask that features, is it Bernie? Is that the dog's name?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He's in a sleigh. He's got some, so that's like on the left side of the mask. He's got some presents flying out of it, including a wrapped up goalie stick. I mean, I assume it's a goalie stick. It's wrapped in wrapping paper, but it sure looks like a goalie stick. Like flying out of the sleigh, and then he's got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer front and center right on the top of the mask, and I think it's pretty cool. I don't think I've seen something like this before on the holidays, so I really liked it.
Can I add a comment?
I don't know. What are you gonna say, John?
Why do we have this mock-up of it and not the actual mask? Like,
yeah, it's a good question.
In a way, because we're so close to Christmas, like, why am I not seeing the real thing here?
So, are you saying that it hasn't actually happened? Like, he's not actually getting the mask potentially?
I'm not suggesting that. I'm hoping he gets it. I want to see the real thing, right?
Right.
So, in a way, it's like a teaser.
Well,
I don't want to say it's underwhelming. It's really cool, but it's like from a Dave concept.
Art. Yeah. It's from Dave Art. Hear me out. It says here, it was so awesome to paint and create Alex Georgiev's new Christmas mask. So I think it physically exists.
I believe it's happening, but why don't we see the real thing? That's all I'm saying.
This is why how I Dave came across it on social media.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. I'm just saying that maybe this should be one of my grievances.
Yeah.
Is I want to see the real thing. And that's an excitement for Goalie Gear Corner in a way. Mm-hmm. Like that's how excited I am to see it.
By the way, we have a new Goalie Gear Corner written post coming up on soundofhockey.com here in the next probably by the time you hear this, it should be out. Kind of recapping all the Kraken goalie gear for the Winter Classic, which have we talked about Drieger's gear?
No, we have
forgot.
Not.
Okay, yeah. Well, we got to talk about that. So Chris Drieger has revealed now This, to me, by the way, pretty much solidifies that Grubauer is not going to be back in time for the Winter Classic, because I don't think Drieger had any plans of having gear made for the Winter Classic, and now all of a sudden he has this like rush order from Vaughn that, by the way, is stunning. So the one thing about this, and I haven't gotten to speak to Drieger about it yet because I crack and been on the road, but I was thinking that last year they put out a video of Grubauer and Drieger like getting excited about the gear that they were going to make for the Winter Classic. Then obviously Drieger doesn't end up making the team. He loses out to Joey Decord, who Joey Decord's been really good. We haven't really talked about him, but he's played really well since last podcast. But maybe he already had the wheels turning in his head about what he wanted to do, but what he came out with is just awesome, man. It is so cool. I wrote in that Goalie Gear Corner piece that's coming up on soundofhockey.com that it really takes me back to like some of the first gear that I wore, because like when you first start as a goalie, you just kind of take like whatever the association gives you, you know? And it was like brown leather. Like I had that blocker with the, it's got all the like holes in it, which I never really understood why they did that. But then as you grow up, you get like slightly better gear. And that gear, that like those pads, they remind me so much of the first set that I had that wasn't like totally beaten up. It was like still probably 10 years old. Like it was a black leather with straps that went all the way through it. Like you see there, like those straps on the front are completely useless, but like that's how the pads used to be. And then it's got the toe caps. It's got beautiful bright colors. It is just, it's awesome. I love it so much. It's such a great way to go with like a, you know, a real retro old school design, but without being brown, right? Like doesn't always need to be brown leather to make it look old school. So I was just really, really impressed by that. Loved it.
I love them.
Cool, yeah. Look. But I guess I'll shoehorn this in here. It's got to be Joey's net, right? For the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been playing 100%. Really well.
Yeah. 100%.
I think Joey's been playing great, but I also think the team's really suppressed shots. Like if you've looked at that, not to kind of spin this into Kraken game segments, but they've really suppressed high danger shots from the opposing team over the last four games. So I think it's a team effort, and Joey would probably say the same thing, but Joey's been playing great for sure.
Also, just a Goalie Gear Corner note, Aaron Dell got signed to like a PTO kind of a thing with the Carolina Hurricanes. We saw this happen with somebody else. Who was the other goalie that they briefly signed?
Oh, with Carolina?
Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
The Bruins signed Tuukka Rask to a PTO because he was going to be the e-bug for a day. So they had to sign
him
to
Halak?
A PTO, I guess.
No, it was
Halak. You're right. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Good call, John. Anyway, I wanted to note that because Aaron Dell is among some of the best to ever do it as far as his goalie gear is concerned.
He's a Goalie Gear Corner Hall of Fame.
Right. I would love if he showed up in Carolina with a custom set of gear, like for the Hurricanes.
For the PTO?
Yeah. That's like, Alish Stezka showed up to like development camp this summer and he had the full head to toe Kraken set up already. Yeah. He had signed like a few days earlier. I was like, how would you do that? That's crazy. All right. So that's our Goalie Gear Corner. Glad I remembered about the Drieger gear because we didn't have that written down. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. Our first weekly one-timer. Kazakhstan has won the U-20 Division 1A championship. What does that mean, John?
They will be in the World Juniors next year. So pretty cool. Kazakhstan's been there before, but you know they're always like kind of a teetering. France was second, and Denmark was third. I bring up Denmark because Oscar Fisker-Moegaard had 5 points in four games. Actually did not play the final game. I'm told it was a little bit of a tweak, but he will be playing next week for his Swedish Elite League team. So no concerns there. But Kazakhstan, next year, we'll see them in the World Juniors.
Yeah, how about that? Were they the team that like everybody was rooting for in the relegation games either last year or 2 years ago? Must have been. It would make sense if they got relegated last year.
Yeah, but Latvia is always in there too, right? And Latvia's always got the goaltender that like stands on his head. So it could, I don't know. It could be either of those, but cool to see either way.
Yep. So our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. DJ Smith was fired by the Ottawa Senators. Another year, like very tumultuous season here for the Senators when you think about it. Pierre Dorion got fired. They had the whole shakeup with the ownership. Their owner
Shane Pinto.
The Shane Pinto scenario. There's just a lot going on there. Interestingly, they hired a while ago Jacques Martin as a like an advisor, and now they've made him the interim coach. So Jacques Martin was the original Senators coach back in 95-96. He coached all the way through 2003-2004 and had a very successful run there, all things considered, other than that first season. Who did we interview a while back, John? I think it might have been Norm McKeever, maybe, when he was talking about being on that original team with Ottawa, and they were like taking golf scores. Like who had the biggest dash, the biggest minus for the night. So, that was season one with the Senators, but
rough one.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. It's interesting to see Jacques Martin back coaching after such a long, long hiatus, and he's got such a long history with that franchise. So, yeah. How about that? Our next weekly one timer. Kind of a WHL update also, but the Thunderbirds announced that they're going to do another Battle of the Sound game at Climate Pledge Arena. This one will be on March 17th against the Portland Winterhawks. So the previous one was against the Everett Silvertips. This one will be against the Portland Winterhawks, who are very good, by the way, the Portland Winterhawks.
Yeah, I wonder how that will draw, right? I think the appeal with Everett makes a little more sense. You're kind of picking in on both fan bases, but I'm eager to see Portland, actually.
Portland draws very well at home, is my understanding. I don't know if their fans will travel for this.
They travel well.
The yeah, WHL I mean, travel well. Maybe. Who knows if it's an opportunity to see them play in an NHL arena. The thing that's a little tough about this is that the Thunderbirds are really struggling this year, so I don't know if they're going to be a very big draw, but we'll see. Here's hoping that they can get a bunch of fans in there. Also, as long as we're talking about the Winterhawks, we should mention about Tyson Jugnauth, who this actually happened over a week ago, but we kind of got the scoop from our guy Cameron Riggers, who's been covering the WHL for us. So shout out Cameron. Cameron went and talked to Tyson Jugnauth last week. They were playing at Spokane against the Spokane Chiefs. He kind of got the scoop on why Jugnauth switched from playing for the Wisconsin Badgers to playing for the Winterhawks. Effectively, what it boiled down to was just that he wasn't getting kind of the opportunities and the responsibilities that he wanted with the Badgers. Things came together quickly, and now all of a sudden he's playing for Portland, and he's had a really good start. He's got a bunch of assists. There was a clip from that game. He assisted on the game winner, and I think also the game tying goal against Spokane.
Yeah.
He looks pretty dynamic.
Five assists in five games, and right jumping into it on a new team, right? That's pretty incredible to me. Like, you'd think you'd take some time, but as Thomas Tatar has proven, you don't need that much time to kind of just fit right in. So,
well, he's a sophomore at Wisconsin, right, is where he was. So it's, again, it's one of those scenarios where he's playing against kids who are 2-3 years older than him. He jumps in, he's like right in the prime of his junior career effectively. And I do think that competition is just different. Like, am I going to say something blasphemous here? This might be blasphemous, but I think college hockey is a tougher competition. Like, it's probably a little bit more structured. You have older players versus those junior leagues are meant to be, you know, they're known to be very high scoring. And so I think you throw a guy from NCAA where like everything's pretty tough sledding and you jump into junior hockey. Yeah. You can show off your offensive skill a little bit more.
Yeah.
Was that blasphemous? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah. If Tyson Jugnauth is going to make it, it's going to be because he develops that offensive game. I mean, that like skating, transition, power play, offensive defenseman type of game. And if you're just not getting the opportunities to develop that at Wisconsin, you might be developing other parts of your game. But if you're not going to be able to develop that strength, that could actually hold you back. He'll have more opportunities in the WHL. He might go back there next year as an overager. That's to be determined. But it's a move you don't see very often. But I can see how, you know, once you really dig into his scenario, it made sense for him.
I think he was pretty noticeable at training camp too, or development camp. And, you know, he's got some flash of skill that, you know, isn't just like, oh, he's probably not going to materialize into a pro hockey player. I think he's got some skill that could develop into it. You know, he's a long shot still, right? But it's nice to see him make the move that what's best for his career. So very cool. And we get to see him now.
We do indeed. Yep. And that'll be fun. I love that. I love that there's some Kraken players in the WHL that we
totally
get to
there's
see
a couple. Yeah.
Time. We close the show. Those are our weekly one timers. We close the show with our tweets of the week, although I'm not convinced that you guys have tweets of the week. Do you?
You are right.
I'm just going to cover this week.
But I do I did want to talk about your tweet of the week, so I'm glad you put it in there.
This is my Festivus gift to you guys, is that I'm just going to cover it. So there is this funny thing that happened in the Senators versus Stars game this past week where Jacob Chychrun was heading off after one of the periods and he just like filters in between Stars players and goes down the Stars tunnel. And so there's a bunch of people tweeting about it and putting things on social media just saying, you know, Chychrun's over it. He's just going down the other tunnel. Cause like the Senators, I think they go off even in like the corner in Dallas. So
yeah.
Like totally different area, just walking as if it was the most normal thing. Well, it turns out there is a reason for it. He wasn't confused. He tweeted, "For those wondering, I was told to meet the Stars team doc at their room for some repairs. Thanks for the laugh this morning." And he includes the pic of him between like Matt Duchene and Joe Pavelski walking into the dressing room. And then he also includes a pic of his face, which just a brutal gash on it. So it makes a lot of sense that he needed to go get fixed up. But man, it looks pretty funny to see him walking off with the wrong team.
I love that. I love that he had, you know, the capacity to just kind of like let everybody know like, hey, I enjoyed the laugh. But the reality is this is why I was going in there.
I had a second tweet of the week as well, which I had a run-in with Bowie the other night, not really a run-in, but an interaction with Bowie after the game. This must have been, I forget which game it was. I think it was after a win. So would that have been Florida maybe? Anyway, I went for a high five with Bowie and Bowie started like pantomiming to me like a cell phone. Like he was trying to tell me that he was texting me or something. I didn't really get it. And I go, "I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand," whatever. And for some reason it clicked in my head today that I was going to tweet at him to ask what it was. And it clicked in my head today, Tuesday. What was he trying to say? So I tweeted at him because he can obviously communicate through Twitter, but he can't speak. Right. So it's like a little tough to have a conversation with him. But so I tweeted like, "Hey, at Cebuie, what were you trying to say to me the other night when you were like miming something with your cell phone?" And he responded back and just said, "You're still the background on my phone. And it's one of the freeze frames from me doing the run and talk." It looks so bad. It's amazing.
So good.
Oh my gosh. Just some good trolling. I was happy to see that.
It
really warmed my heart and made me laugh very, very hard that my stupid face while running is the background of the mascot of the Seattle Kraken. So that warmed my heart.
That's pretty cool.
No grievances when it comes to Bowie.
Grievance free as far as Bowie's concerned.
Yeah. And that's all from Sound of Hockey episode 266.
I don't sound like that.
It doesn't matter. It's not why I want to do it. Remember to leave your 5-star review and we'll review it. We'll read it on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all our Patreon supporters. We wish you all a happy holiday in this festive time and happy Festivus for all those that celebrate. And we'll talk to you after Christmas. And yeah, come on, take it over, Darren. Yeah, please. Louder.
On the ground when old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down. It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and every boy. Santa's a great big bundle of joy when he's coming down the chimney down.